Welcome to All the Things with Kristen Schindler. We all have things. Doesn't matter if we're married or single, if we have no children, or if we have 10. Things in life can be overwhelming, and sometimes we just don't know how to navigate them. So each week, you're going to hear stories of hope, of inspiration, and of people navigating the same things that you and I deal with day in and day out. Their stories may sound different than ours, or they may sound just like us. Either way, each week this podcast is going to pour into your heart with hope and encouragement. We are so glad that you are here. Welcome, friends. Thank you so much for joining us back again for another episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And today I am so excited for you to meet a new friend of mine named Kyle Devine. And one thing that you're going to know about Kyle, and Kyle, you have brought it already just with the interactions that you and I have had, but Kyle is a single dad. He is working his tail feathers off, and he is filled with passion. He has lots of good nuggets for those dads out there, single dads, you know, dads that are married, but just, you know, need to just kind of take a look at their dad, you know, their dad world and what they're doing on their map of the journey with their kids. So Kyle, I'm so excited for you to be with me today. Thank you for joining me.
What's up, Kristen? Thank you for having me. I had to do that. What's up? I love doing that. But thank you for having me. And first off, I appreciate you. Second off, like all the things that matter. So when I saw your podcast, All the Things, I was like, when I just heard about it, I'm like, you know, all the things that make so much sense to me, because there's a lot of things that matter that we truly don't, like we don't realize that, because I think we're overwhelmed with we live in like the society world, and we do what we think we're designed to do as dads, and we don't really realize what truly matters. So I want to like hit that, because I never really hit that angle before, and I'm pretty excited for that. So thank you.
You're welcome. Well, let's start with where you are now. You can share with our listeners, where are you currently in terms of your parenting journey?
Awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a single dad, girl dad. Got to throw the girl dad in there.
Hashtag girl dad. Yep.
Girl dad. My daughter's 7. I've had primary custody of her for the last 4 years. It was a necessary relationship. I didn't realize that at the time. But I was in a relationship for the first of the 4 years. So I've been technically I've been a single girl dad, like by myself, doing it for the last 3 years, and it's been an amazing journey.
That's awesome. Do you know how to do hair? Let me just ask you that first and foremost. Do you have the pigtails down? Did you figure that out? YouTube that?
Well, it's funny because I did YouTube it. I was actually in a 14-day challenge in a private coaching group that I'm in called Rankmakers. And it was like a 14-day live challenge, like do a Facebook Live for 14 days. And you had to do stuff you weren't – there's one day where you do stuff that you're not good at, you don't know nothing about. And mine was braiding hair.
Nice. I love it.
I got it done. And guess what? Now this is going to blow your mind. For all the dads out there that are like me, I got a samurai bun. It ain't a man bun, but I've grown the samurai bun. So like I can throw my hair up now. I don't know if I'm going to braid it someday, but I throw it up.
Nice. See, it helped you out too. Look at you. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely.
It's all about that really tight, firm rubber band. You got to have
that. Yes, you got to have it. Can't get the cheapies. We know that. Yeah. My daughter and I have thick hair, so we know the struggle. All right. So let's talk a little bit. This, where you are now, though, that wasn't where you were. So can you kind of tell us, you shared with me that there was like kind of a turning point where you were like, okay, I'm not doing what I want to do, and I'm not focusing on all the things that do matter. So kind of share with us, like, give us a little history, take us back, share us, you know, a little bit about where you were, and then what was that turning point, you think? What was that light bulb moment that, you know, if it was a movie, like the music would be the soundtrack we would remember, like we'd be getting the chills, like what was it for you And your daughter's name, can you share your daughter's name?
Yeah, my daughter's name is Kennedy.
Yeah. So what was it that made you feel like you wanted to make a change for Kennedy?
Yeah, so there's quite a few moments in my life, but I'm gonna actually take you back to my childhood. All right. So I remember I was 10 years old and we lived in a trailer, and my dad, or my stepfather, and my mom, and it was me, my sisters, my brother. We were all in the trailer, and that we were playing like the Sweet Child of Mine. My stepfather and his friend, which was one of my grandfather's friends, they were actually, you know, they were, we were having a time. Like, we were kids, we were just dancing, having a little bit of fun. They were, getting drunk and stuff. And then what happens is, I go to bed, I go in my bedroom. It's dark, it's cold night. It was raining outside. And again, we lived in a trailer, so we didn't have, like, I don't even think we had heat at that time, or it was about to be winter, so we didn't have the heat on. So I remember being chilly, and my stepfather, he went to bed, and my mother went to bed, and I laid in my bed, and I heard somebody come in the room, and I knew what was going to happen because it wasn't the first time I was there. So he comes, my father's, my stepfather's friend comes in the room, and he talks to me. I don't remember the exact conversation, but he pulls down my pants. He starts to touch me. His hands are really cold. And I was so uncomfortable, but I didn't know. Like, I thought, like, this was a normal thing. And then, he's touching me and stuff, and I'm scared. I'm a scared little boy. And my stepfather walks in. He's like, "Go to bed." He said, he gets really up, he gets really mad, and I thought I was in serious trouble. And all he said was, "Go to bed." So this guy left the room. I was there. I couldn't get no sleep. I was scared I was gonna get in trouble the next day. And that right there was a turning point for me. Even though I was 10 years old, what that did for me was more than just be a scared little boy. I said to myself, subconsciously, I was like, I'm not going to be that dad when I grow up. No offense to him, my stepdad. He didn't know. Maybe he was in shock. I already forgave him. Maybe he was in shock. He didn't know what to do. But to me, that made me feel abandoned. That made me feel like I didn't matter. That made me feel like I'm worthless. I'm literally, I just do not matter. And that it made me res it helped, or it made me resent love. It made me resent affection. It made me resent so much in life, and it made me feel disgusting. So I said to myself, when I was that young age, I remember saying this growing up many times. I was like, "Someday I'm gonna be a dad. Someday I'm gonna be the best dad I can possibly be." And here I am. What is it? 18 years? No, wow, I'm old. 20 years later, I've been a dad for 7 years, and I think I'm doing a pretty dang good job. So
Wow.
that was a huge turning point for me.
Wow. Well, first, I just, as a mom, like, I just want to just give you a big old hug and just say, I'm just so sorry that that happened to you at such a young age and that you had that trauma and that you were assaulted in that way. Like, that is just, horrific. As a mom, like, that's like one of the biggest fears that you have is that your children are going to be, when they're vulnerable and they're not able to protect themselves, that you're not going to be able to protect them. So first and foremost, I am so sorry that that happened to you. Because that happened to you, do you feel that there is a lens that you look at the world through in terms of now that you're a parent? Like, you wanted to be a good dad, and I see your interactions with your daughter, and I can see her smile, and you can see the way that a child interacts with their parent. Like, you can just see that energy. So I just, as an outsider, like, I can see your daughter's energy and her smile, and she adores you. That's completely evident when I see the two of you together. But my question is, when you became a dad, did you start parenting differently because of that history, or did you even really think about it? Have you had those thoughts enter in your mind?
Yeah, so first, I want to just throw this out there. My mom, when she found out, she was pissed. She went crazy. She got really, really mad. So I knew it wasn't okay. And I knew it wasn't okay. And I really love my mom for that. But yeah, so that actually, to be honest with you, was a very, it was difficult. When I actually found out I was a dad, I ran from that. I was totally scared. I didn't think I was worthy of being a dad. I didn't think I could love my daughter. I didn't think I could show her how to love herself or guide her in the right direction. Because quite honestly, I was depressed. I felt like a loser. I felt disgusted. And I literally didn't want to be here, to be honest. So I know there's a dad out there right now that's listening to this that is going to run away. That's going to run away from being a dad because something happened in their life that something traumatic, and it's anchoring them down, and they don't believe that they are worthy of being that dad that they always wanted growing up, or that, all their friends wish they had growing up. But I'm going to tell you something. You are worthy of it, and you have to give yourself permission to step into being that dad, because it's a skill set, it's a job, it's work, man. It takes work, but it is worth it, because once you have a child, you got to realize life isn't about you anymore. You have that child, and now it's your job to show them what it is in life. What's life about? How do you show up and make the best of your life? So my advice is to take that trauma that's holding you back, and instead of have it as the anchor, turn it into the cape, man. Turn it into the cape and be there for your child for, all the times in life that you wish you had the dad that was there. So be that dad.
That's great. That's awesome. And I know I have friends that have struggled with different issues, and they do run, and that running just perpetuates that feeling of worthiness, or unworthiness, because then they think, oh, I did it again. I let them down again, and they're gonna be, they'd never welcome me back. And children just want that relationship with that parent. I have a friend, and she is a parent of, she fosters, and then she's adopted a couple kids. And a lot of people she's talked to about, like, reuniting families. Like, that's the goal, reunification of the family. And that bond, even when there's sickness there, and that sickness can be in the form of mental illness or addiction or whatever it is, that child is not getting the needs met that they deserve. If those things can be met and there can be healing, the children are better off with that bond with that family member if it's able to be done in a healthy way. Because forgiveness can happen, right? That's the way that we're wired.
Forgiveness is huge, man. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. The other person, what they did was not right. It wasn't okay. And in that moment, whatever happened to you, that was about you. But now, the forgiveness that you're going to forgive, I recommend writing a letter, writing a real letter, feeling the emotions, writing it to that person, and then really rereading that, and then burning that crap. And the forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. What they did wasn't okay, but also that trauma was about you then, but now it's not about you anymore. You have to use that to be to as fuel to be a better person, to be stronger.
Absolutely. I don't, for my listeners, if you didn't catch it, there was an episode, a number of episodes ago called Forgive to Live. And my dear friend Kim talked about her life as a survivor of domestic violence. And that's one of her key messages is that for her to live, she had to forgive because harboring that did nothing for her. And to be the mom to her boys, you know, that she needed to be for them, forgiveness was key. So I think you're right on.
Yeah,
Kyle,
great.
talk to us about what are some things that you're wanting to do? You have this passion for dads, and what is your goal? Where do you see yourself? What do you want to bring to the table, the buffet, for dads? What do you think in your heart is what you're being called to do?
Okay, so first off, buffet, you triggered something there. No, but yeah, I literally used to be 300 pounds like 3 years ago. I've lost 120 pounds, but I used to be an emotional eater. I used to be. So I used to go to Chinese buffet all the time, like 3 times a day. But anyway, so
Well,
yeah,
good for you
so
on the weight loss. Way to
thank
go.
you. Thank
Way
you.
to go. Because that's
So
one of the things I talk about with my all the things training is
it matters. It matters.
health is, yeah. If you're not healthy,
All
you
the
can't
things
do the things
matter.
you're called to do.
So what I am called to do, what I have a passion in is guiding other fathers, other dads to actually go from feeling like that zero, feeling like you're worthless, feeling like you don't matter, feeling like you're not doing enough, you just aren't good enough, to go to feeling like confidently feeling like you're that hero dad, you're that dad, you gave it your all. You did as the best you can. You worked on yourself so much that you showed up so powerfully that you don't have to feel guilty and feel that regret at the end of your life, knowing you didn't give it your all. You didn't try as much as you could. You were all about you, and you let what happened to you in your life affect your child's life.
Yeah,
So
that's powerful.
yeah, so I kind of want to talk about the things that matter. I just tried to transition to that real quick, if we can.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What do you think are those things? When you
Yeah,
think about Kennedy, what do you think are the most important for her?
so how I, because I love this podcast, really. You just open up my mind a lot. So thank you for that. And all the things that matter. So I'm like, why I started this podcast with that situation happening to me. Well, it made me who the dad I am today. Instead of, and it's very hard. If you ever been through a sexual abuse type of situation growing up, first off, I'm sorry you had to go through that. My heart's there for you, man, for real. But what's even harder is becoming a dad and showing your child affection, showing them love, showing them the things that hurt you so much because you had it programmed in your mind that love wasn't good, sexual stuff isn't good, like all this stuff. Actually showing affection to your child after that to me is one of the things that matters. Showing is, especially if you have a daughter, showing them what love is, holding their hand, taking them out on dates, dancing with them. Those to me are important things, making those memories so they don't have to have those bad memories, which you can't control. You can only do your best because things are going to happen in this world, and that's the sad truth, but you can control what you can control. So, all the things to me that matter are the memories, the memories, the gratitude. I teach my daughter gratitude, what to be grateful, imagination. I teach her imagination. I think having imagination is huge. and not to live for society, to actually live for herself, for her dreams, chase what she truly wants to do in this world, and not just fit in.
Yeah,
so
that
those,
is so
those are
important.
two things.
I think you know, I want to kind of sit on that imagination thing for a while, because I think that, you know, you mentioned earlier in the podcast that we live in a society where, you know, there's so many things. I mean, there's hashtag all the things. There's all the things you can consume in a buffet, which we know aren't good for us. There's hashtag all the things we think that we should be doing, which is a laundry list that none of us were ever designed to do. But I think that there is so much truth to really inspiring that imagination with our children. And I have seen a marked difference. And it's, you know, it's kind of like your children go through these stages, which, you know, when my one son was super little, like from 2 on to probably about 5, he loved Thomas the Train. And he would set up the engines and he would lay down on the ground and play with Thomas the Train. I mean, he was really, really into Thomas the Train. But my daughter, she went through a stage where she loved Littlest Pet Shops, little plastic pets. And she would create these vignettes. I would go in her room and they would be like these little, you know, everything was super tiny and she had everything laid out. Like she had the little table set and she had the little menus drawn and she had, you know, it was so creative. And that was from her imagination. That was her imagination. But what I think happens is when children start seeing and they start consuming too much.
Yeah.
It's just like you consuming too much on a Chinese buffet, or me consuming too many, you know, things that have wheat, and then my joints start killing me. I can't eat a lot of wheat, but it's not good for us. Yeah, no gluten. It's just not good for us. We become bloated mentally.
For sure.
And there's not enough room. There's not enough room for the good stuff. So I think that's so, so important, because kids are in such a different technological stage than we ever were as children. And you know, on one hand, they have, like, you know, the ability to access hashtag all the things, but that's not necessarily good to be consuming, even if it's good stuff, right? Even if it's good stuff. I think they need to have that space, you know, that space for imagination. Absolutely.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. And another thing is, I don't know why I'm thinking about, I mean, I know why I'm thinking about this, but another thing is, like, I'm not trying to hop topics, but like with society, as a father, you know, you think that a dad's job is to be that really strong, tough, buff guy that doesn't realize that showing love is actually important. It's actually important to show love. Controlling your child isn't doing the child good like you think it is. And, you know, it's not just about you working a job to make the money and make your wife do all the cleaning. That's not really truly how it's supposed to be. That's just what society has formed people to think. And reality, I really feel like everything is backwards. Like you should show that love, spend that quality time with your child, show your child that life isn't all about chasing a dollar bill, and that life, a woman doesn't do everything and the man works and the woman cleans. That I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. And I think that kind of makes women look, or your child think, like, if it's a boy child, oh, women are maybe less, or men are more powerful because they got more money, stuff like that. So,
right. Well, you know, it's interesting, because, you know, I have talked to friends over the years, and their husbands don't necessarily help around the house. And I'm blessed to have a husband that, you know, he's just like, oh, I'm going to go to the grocery store. What do you need? You know, or, you know, he'll say, you know, I'm going to, you know, he'll bring up a load of laundry and start folding it. We all start folding it. And I'll tell you, it's a blessing, because I know that I have other friends that's just not how it works. That's not one of the roles that their husbands take part in. And for me, raising two boys, you know, they are going to need to take care of their own laundry if they don't have, you know, a partner that is a lover of doing laundry. Like, we all need clean clothes, you know? So I think you're right on, like, just having everybody understand that we have to do all the things together that need to be done for everything to work so that there's time to do all the most important things. Because if one person is carrying that burden, they're not going to be, they're not designed to do it. You know, we're designed to all help each other and be equally yoked and not carry those burdens alone, because it's just too, it's too heavy. It's too heavy. So what are some projects that you're working on? Can you share with us what your goals are? What is it that you're working on right now?
Yeah, so well, first off, I lost 120 pounds. I didn't just lose that out of nowhere. I mean, it kind of did. Kind of just hit happened out of nowhere, but it was actually a moment in my life. I was in Florida, I was 300 pounds, I was depressed. I was just at the end of that relationship I talked about, and I felt like a loser. I felt worthless. I really did not want to be here. Used to remember looking at my daughter and saying, the only reason why I'm here is because of her. If she wasn't here, I would not be here. And I truly believed that, at least at the time. So that came from, nutrition. So I have a home-based business I'm building internationally right now, which is really cool. That's nutrition. It's a whole food high performance nutrition. I'm also in the works of doing some coaching, some dad coaching. Hey, yes, and also I'm gonna launch a podcast soon. It's going to I'm not exactly sure of the name yet. I have a couple names in my head, but the mission is going to be helping dads become heroes, like help that hero dad become better dads. And it's going to be based on a lot of dads, but I'm going to obviously interview moms and stuff. You got to get different angles to become a better person. And what I truly believe and I know is in order for you to be a better dad, you have to be a better you. And it all starts with you. So I'm going to have a podcast. I'm going to start a academy. I'm thinking of a real life, like a real virtual dad academy where you can as a dad actually get homework, get assignments, like actual tangible action steps to become a better dad. You actually have to implement them. You're gonna be charged some money because I believe that money is it helps you put your skin in the game so you actually will do the thing. And I actually want to help fathers or dads become better. And the only way they're going to do that is if they actually get like a man to man, like, hey, dude, do this.
Right, they have to
And
invest.
so, yeah, do this coming from a man, from a dad's perspective. Cause I'm a pretty realist. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't sugarcoat things. I keep it real, like real and raw. So that's going to be cool. I'm excited for that. And then I have other things and they're going to come. They come as you go in your journey of life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So.
Well, can you, as we close up today's podcast, is there any final words that you'd like to give my audience, and maybe give those dads out there some marching orders? Give them some things
Yeah.
that they could implement today that you want to challenge them with. So bring it,
Yeah.
Kyle.
Yeah, let's go. So. Hold on, I'm pulling out a notebook since you said that. No, because I actually did a study on this the other day. I did a study, like I did a couple surveys, and there's some people, these are all people, real life people that, I just asked them, like, if there was one thing you wish you could tell your dad, what would it be? I had so many different responses, and I had a lot of a few responses. A couple I'm just gonna nail on the head real quick, but. So first off, what I would say to a dad right now, I would tell you, like, dude, like in this world that we're in right now, this world needs more leadership. And where leadership starts, I truly believe, is in the home. And it starts with the dad. The dad is the leader. That's one of your jobs. Like that's literally who you are. You are a dad, you are a leader. So becoming a leader is very important. And in order to be a better leader, you have to be able to lead yourself. You got to be able to lead yourself. So you have to work on you, man. So, because it all starts with you. So, let's see, a couple of things I'm going to talk about. The number one thing that these people, everybody that replied to this survey I did was they wish that their dad was there more. They wish that their dad was in that present moment more in life, like not doing his thing all the time, working out of town all the time, when he gets home, going to that garage or going and working on his truck, actually being there. So what I challenge you ready for a challenge? What I challenge you to do is every single day, like set this in your phone, get out your phone, set a reminder. Every day I want, as soon as you get home, like you just get home, first off, tell your wife you love her, give her a hug. But then I want you to take that child and you, if you do want to go to the garage, don't go to the garage and drink the beer. If you want to go to the garage or you want to go to the park and walk, whatever it is, take your child, spend at least 15 minutes of quality time with your child every single day, because you're going to make memories, so many memories in those 15 minutes, rather than going and buying your kid a brand new four-wheeler or dirt bike. You're going to make memories in those 15 minutes that they're going to remember forever. They ain't going to remember that toy that you bought them because you were working out of town all the time. And that's all you could do is try to buy their love. So quality time is huge. And another is this three-letter word. It's a three-letter, or not three-letter word, three words. It's three words that are so important. And it goes back to what I just said. You know, you can't buy your child's love. I understand you're working out of town. You feel guilty. Maybe you're not working out of town, but you're spending so many hours working that you think buying your child's love is going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm sorry that you have to deal with that. But what I'm going to tell you right now is there's a way to not just like buy them toys to say that you love them. There's a lot of people, and this is kind of like a shock to me. I was like, whoa. And now it makes sense because I related to it. But a lot of children, well, they were children at one time, said they wish their dad said, I love you. Like the three words, I love you, not just bought toys, but actually said, I love you. So what I challenge you to do is to look your child in the eyes every single day. I want you to do this every single day when you wake up and every single night when you go to bed. And if you can't do this, get out a rubber band, put it on your wrist, set a timer on your phone, whatever you got to do. But every single time your child goes to bed, when they say, okay, I'm going to bed, dad, you snap that rubber band, or you look at that phone, you look at the picture, or the timer goes off, you say, I love you to your child. You give them a hug and you kiss them on their forehead because you don't know if they're going to wake up tomorrow. And then when they wake up, you do the same thing. Maybe you are at work before they're awake. Send them a text on their phone. Write them a little letter. Do something. Maybe give them a little piece of candy or whatever it is you want to do by their bed just to show them that you love them. Because, again, you don't know when your child's not going to be here. You don't know when if you're not going to be here anymore. So time is very valuable. You cannot just keep on waiting. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to start. Tomorrow I'm going to change. Tomorrow I'm going to be better dad. No, it starts now, man. It starts now. So
I love it, Kyle. I love it. Thank you so, so very much. Those are some powerful marching orders, friends. Some powerful marching orders. But I guarantee you that if you just start with those, you're going to see some powerful change, because I think you are on the money, friend, Kyle. You
For
know,
sure.
You're on the money, because I don't know if you've done this with Kennedy, but have you ever done the five love languages quiz with her?
Yeah, she's affectionate. Like, she's so affectionate. Yeah. We did that with Gary.
Gary Chapman.
Gary Chapman.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, Dad, I'm an affectionate. I love to be touched. I love to be held. I love my hand held. Like,
yep. And I challenge you, those of you that are out there that haven't done that with your children yet, do it today, because you will find You know, there are some children that would love to get a gift, right? That's just their love language. And if you bought them those new AirPods, they would be like, wow. But that's very few. You know, there's other people that is not going to show them you love them. And if you aren't doing the other things, and if you don't know how your child ticks, you're going to miss the mark every time. And you're going to think that you're doing one thing, and you know, you're serving them something from the buffet, and it's something that does not appetize them at all. And they're going to feel like that you don't love them, when in fact you do. And that's a big heartbreak, as a parent, to realize that you've been feeding them their whole lives, and you've been feeding them the wrong food, you know, for their heart. So, Kyle, thank you so much. Thanks for bringing the real dad talk. And we are just so excited to follow you on your journey and all that you're going to be doing. You're going to bring such quality things to dads, and they need it. They need to hear this. They need a place. They need a safe space, a space for grace, where they can show up and say, hey, I don't know what I'm doing here. And who else needs to know how to learn how to braid? Because I don't know, you know, so I'm excited for you. Will you come back and share with us another time of how things are going?
Absolutely. And one more thing, like, I challenge you as a dad today, when your child comes home from school or when you get out of work, just seriously tell them you love them, man. That's it. Tell them you love them and ask them how their day was, because when you ask your child how their day was, it makes them feel like their day matters. It makes them feel like they matter. And you know, it might sound so cliche and simple. How was your day? Why do people ask, how was your day? That's why, man. They want to know, you want them to know that they matter to you. So ask them how their day went. That's so true. Like, dads aren't that strong person like we're like everybody thinks you have to be, you know?
Right. Well, and like
So.
sometimes I know that I think sometimes one of the biggest problems with dads is that they don't let the emotions, they don't communicate why they're feeling what they're feeling. And they come out, and I know this happens to my own husband, it comes out in ways that they don't intend it, but the language that's being used and the way that it's being received is also not how they intend it, but it's just the way that it's being communicated. And so I've had to say that with my own children, like,
No, for sure.
dad's super stressed about this, and so because of that, he may be doing this. And you know, but I so I think it's really important for dads to understand, like, I think kids need to know, like, in all honesty, my husband had to have a biopsy for cancer the other day, and I told the kids, like, this is what dad has to have, and we're praying that it's nothing. And it ended up being nothing. And he goes, why did you tell them that? And I said, because you're gonna have a reaction, and
You know
something's gonna
what?
happen.
I got a book for your husband to read. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
It's called "Ego Is the Enemy" by Ryan Holiday.
Oh, I'll have to write that one
Because
down. I
ego
will get
is
it.
the enemy, and it's so big. Like, all that is ego. I relate everything to ego. Like being, you just have a fear of being found out. You have a fear of, like, oh, my friends ain't gonna think I'm manly enough. Like, dude, I don't care. My boy's wedding, guess what? I cried the entire time. I cried when his daughter came out, and like, oh, I'm gonna cry right now thinking about it. But I literally cried because I was like, oh my gosh, I want that moment. Instead, like, you know, when they show the wedding dress,
Yeah.
instead of his wife coming out, she stood on like a chair and put her hand on his back like she was there. And it was his daughter instead, and she was in a dress.
Oh.
So stuff like that. I'm like, OMG. But
Well,
so,
those are the things that matter, right? Those are all the things. Those are all the things that root in our heart, and that make us have all the feels.
no, for real. And I instill this in my daughter all the time, and I quiz her all the time. I'm always like, Kennedy, what's your best memory with me, and what's your best memory you ever had with me? She's like, Thompson Square concert. I don't know if you listen to country music, but it was Thompson Square. They sing like the song, like, "Are You Gonna Kiss Me or Not?" And my friend, the one that got married, his dad is like a vice president at all the casinos out here, so he has a lot of pull with, like, you know, music and stuff, the music industry. So they came. They did a concert, ended up not being a good concert. A lot of people didn't come, but we were there. So we had like an intimate concert. They actually like held her, brought her up on stage. We danced in the
Oh,
rain.
wow. That's awesome.
It was on Father's Day.
That's so cool.
So she every time she says that, she cries every time she hears the song.
What an amazing gift. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope that you were inspired by Kyle. And I know if you're anything like me, you could just feel the love that he has for Kennedy. It just resonates through his mic space and what he's sharing about his daughter. And you know, a lot of us have had situations in our lives, and maybe you could resonate with Kyle that your childhood wasn't perfect. Whose parents really knew what they were doing from the very beginning? None of us. None of us are perfect, and we're going to mess up. And for some of us, we come from really messy backgrounds. But that doesn't have to make your parenting journey as messy as where you came from. So I just encourage you to dig down deep and be the dads that your kids desire and that they deserve. Have a blessed day. And if you were inspired by this podcast, I just ask that you subscribe and you share and leave some reviews. Have a blessed day.